When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Cami Charrière.
And I'm Monica Ainley. And you're listening to Fashion No Filter,
where we sit down with some of the lead creatives, strategic thinkers, and emerging talent around us to interpret the ins and outs of the fashion industry today.
Welcome back to Fashion No Filter, and thank you for finding your way back to us, despite our masterfully executed disappearing act at the end of what we have retroactively decided to name season one.
And that, my friends, is closure.
Yes, because we realize we were gone a bit too long to disguise our absence by calling it a mere break.
So yeah, RIP season one and long live season two.
Yay.
It wasn't really a holiday. For those who follow me on Instagram, you will not have been able to miss that I spent the summer on complete lockdown sitting on my couch as punishment for having way too much fun at the most fashionable wedding of the season.
Excuse me.
I mean, no offense, Monica, it was a pretty fashionable... The Shrimp's wedding. It was a very fashionable wedding. But anyway, I was...
You definitely made a fashionable exit.
Yeah, I did. I ran over a glass, severed a tendon, and the NHS helpfully stitched me up with 5 bits of glass in there. So note to all you lovely listeners, don't take your shoes off ever, 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 ever.
Still love you, NHS, though.
Yeah, obviously. What else is new, Monica? You got married in Custom Joseph.
I did, indeed.
Which we joked that Louise Trotter, who left Joseph, was so involved in Monica's wedding that she couldn't focus on two things at the same time. But actually, she has now just announced that she's moved to Lacoste.
Exactly. And actually, it was a custom-made Louise Trotter dress, which was an amazing collaborative opportunity.
No, it was a beautiful dress.
I loved doing that with you, Louise.
So I have a new foot. Monica's married. And we have a new producer. Welcome, Joel. For better and for worse, as long as we all shall live. There you go.
Amen.
Here we go, season two.
And we should probably preempt this housekeeping by assuring you that we didn't exactly plan on pulling a Houdini. Both of us severely disapprove of ghosting.
Especially me. I mean, Monica's married now, so you'd hope that her husband isn't about to fall off the face of the earth.
No ghosting.
No ghosting. We won't do it again.
So we thought we would take 5 minutes to renew our vows and update you with our new vision for season two. By the way, we should probably also tell you that our family did grow while we were away. We had a baby.
Are you referring to the TV show?
Yes, I am, in fact, referring to the TV show, which is pretty much, as far as I can tell, kind of similar to giving birth. It's a huge thing to create, but it was fun, and our baby aired on Palipino.
No offense to all the mothers giving birth out there.
Okay, maybe it's a little different. But it aired on Paris Première, the French TV channel, in September, and we could not be prouder parents. And though that is what kept us away from you, we hope that those of you who do speak French managed to catch the show. We will add the link in the show notes, which, drumroll, is a new feature of this newly improved season two. Because yes, we are back, and we're here to stay, and we really missed you.
Before we get into the thick of this episode, we thought we would quickly talk you through the new format so you know what to look forward to in the coming weeks. I guess the main bit of feedback that we got from season one is that we were not putting out episodes often enough, which was an issue that we couldn't really solve, as stitching together all our segments and putting together the interviews meant a lot of time in and out of the studio. And that's not helped by the fact that Monica still lives across seas. So to make life easier for ourselves and more fun for you, we've decided to reduce our guest count to one per show. So we'll only be interviewing one person per episode.
One carefully selected individual, which will actually also allow us to go into more depth with that person. So you're going to see generally two interviews per triptych. And these triptychs are all circling around one subject. And then in the third episode, Kemi and I will be having a discussion between the two of us, which actually was another piece of feedback that we got.
Yeah, which was really nice, actually. People were saying that they really enjoyed us chatting to each other. So we've decided to incorporate that. And one of three episodes will be just us.
Just a review.
We hope we are up to standards.
We certainly hope so. We'll try our best.
Yeah, without further ado, let's get back to it.
Let's go.
Since we would be nothing without it, today we are going to dive back into the digital world.
I mean, that's a bit of a terrifying thought. We would still be born alive, just maybe not here.
Monica, I'm a big believer in the butterfly effect. Ashton Kutcher had a big impact on me when I was growing up.
So Kemi genuinely thinks that she would be living in a crack den with nothing and no one, if not for Instagram.
Okay, don't be mean. You never know. Like, okay, well, certainly we might not be friends. I wouldn't be at Kemi Charrier.
Do you think I'm friends with you for your Instagram account?
No, but that's kind of how we met. We met like at Fashion Week when we were sort of starting off.
That's true.
And I mean, we definitely wouldn't be chatting to our guest of the hour had it not been for Instagram.
We are starting this season with a trip where no mere mortal can go. In fact, even the revered blue tick can't get you this kind of access.
Dun, dun, dun.
The Wizard of Oz of Instagram. We are going behind the algorithm.
Yep, that's us fluently conversing with the programming behind your favorite app. But since we figured most of you don't speak coding as fluently as we do, we have brought in an interpreter. And in fact, this woman is a bit of a unicorn, as she speaks tech as fluently as she speaks fashion.
So let's back up for a sec. In recent months, tech giants have begun to catch on to the idea of incorporating fashion industry heavyweights into their world domination strategies. So for example, Derek Blasberg has been hired by YouTube, and US Vogue's Selby Drummond by Snapchat.
But before this was a trend, Eva Chen was poached from her job as editor-in-chief of Lucky Magazine. She had previously also held roles at Harper's Bazaar, Elle, and was promoted to beauty and health director at Teen Vogue before moving to Lucky.
And while Eva was at Teen Vogue, I believe it was, Eva was also gaining attention for her very exciting and glamorous, yet unusually down-to-earth approach to her personal Instagram account. She popularized the hashtag Eva Chen Pose, which is kind of a behind-the-scenes selfie in the backseat of a car, featuring close-ups of her highly tantalizing accessories. Today, this pose is practiced by influencers the world over.
We managed to steal Eva in between shows during London Fashion Week.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, Beth.
Hi.
Welcome to Fashion No Filter.
Thank you for having
me. And welcome to London.
I literally arrived last night at like 10 p.m. and I was very excited to collapse into bed and go to sleep immediately.
I can imagine.
Although there was a wedding here until 1 a.m. that had like music.
It's this hotel.
No. It maybe is this hotel. Is this a party hotel?
I didn't realize. Yeah. It's like a...
You're in the party town. You're in party part of town.
I didn't realize that because usually when I choose hotels, I choose hotels based on how old lady the hotel is. Like, yeah. Is there a harpist in the corner? Yes. Is it brightly lit? Mm-hmm. Like, is the font on the menus oversized? That's literally usually how I choose
hotels.
We are
at the Ned London, we should probably mention.
Yes.
Although there is a beautiful antique bed, which I feel like...
No, the decor is amazing.
I would love to sleep in when I'm...
This room is amazing. 90. I mean, there's this like kind of like Gatsby-esque chandelier.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful big bathtub in the middle of the bedroom, which is so luxurious. Yeah. The bathroom is the size of my apartment in New York City, and there are like three closets.
Amazing.
Three closets and three swimming pools. And the food is delicious because you get room service from the restaurants, Chaconis and amazing. Malibu Kitchen and this Japanese place called Kaya.
So why it's very even delicious. Bother going to shows? I'm sure you're just sitting here.
I would super happily just be like eating my way through the Ned right now.
I suppose you could just watch the shows through Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Instagram Live.
Because that's what we're here to talk about today.
Yes,
I like this nice segue.
That's a beautiful
very
segue.
Talented.
Why don't you segue into your first question that you have?
Well, for everybody that doesn't know, Eva Chen is it head of fashion at Instagram? Is that how you say your title?
Fashion partnership. Yeah.
Fashion partnership.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. I never really check, so I can just say, yeah, head of fashion partnerships.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about what your job involves? I mean, obviously scrolling through Instagram, but that's
obviously spending time on Instagram. But there are so many ways to tell your story now on Instagram. I mean, there's Instagram OG, like the feed, there's Instagram Live, there's Instagram Stories, there's Hyperlapse, there's Boomerang, there's IGTV, there's Direct Message, the list goes on. And so there's so much newness on Instagram. So I work with like models, designers, stylists, influencers, anything really that touches the fashion world, and I just help people tell their story better.
How was that transition for you?
It was actually like, I get asked that question a lot, and I don't, the transition was easier than you would think, because when you're an editor at a magazine, your job is to get the best work out of people.
Right.
So like if I'm working with a photographer, I'm trying to get the photographer to do his best work for the magazine. If I'm working, trying to cast like models that have like cool stories, or like, you know, get the best work out of them, fashion editors, etc. And I actually feel like that's kind of like what I do now, except it's for their own Instagram. Like everyone now is telling their own story on Instagram. And if I can help them tell it better, then that makes me happy.
So you're constantly communicating with like people with big followings, or
really anything. You know, I have a team. I'm really lucky to have an amazing kind of dream team, and so I do have one person who joined me from the CFDA, which is the Council of Fashion Designers of America.
Mm-hmm.
And her role is to work with emerging designers. So you could have 5,000 followers, you could have 5 million followers, or 50 million followers, and we want to help everyone. It's equal opportunity help, especially since I think, especially for small businesses, it's an amazing, Instagram is an amazing place to kind of build your business. It's a global platform of 1 billion people, and then 400 million people using stories every single day. And then you have 90 million people who have used the shopping button on mm-hmm. Instagram. So that's like, those numbers are pretty crazy. And so for a young brand or like an upstart designer, it's pretty cool to be able to reach all those people at one place. It's been great. I've been at Instagram now for 3 years, and so much newness. Like, what's amazing about working at a place like Instagram is like every
month, it feels like there's something new, whether it's a new face filter, whether it's
more face filters.
Did you see Rihanna just launched hers?
No,
it's like this crazy diamond crowned in honor of her diamond ball for charity last week.
Cool.
Adidas launched one. The movie Predator, which my husband was really into.
I have to say, the wedding I injured myself this summer, and the wedding that I injured myself was Hannah Wayland, who's the designer at Shrimps, and for the wedding they had gifts that she'd drawn, like the same three. They were amazing. I mean, that for me is infiltration. If you can have like your own GIF on social media, that's what I'm doing for my wedding.
Well, anyone
Monica, I'm
can
sorry
have,
we didn't organize that.
Anyone can have Giphy stickers on Instagram. So you have to go to Giphy.com and create an account. And then if you upload GIFs, it's like it gets pulled into the Instagram because all the stickers on Instagram are powered by Giphy. So like I launched... like I made my own GIFs. I think it's technically pronounced GIF.
Sorry, I don't know what I'm saying.
But it's called Giphy.
Because in French you say, I never know which one. Is it GIF or GIF?
I don't know, but I'm going to start calling it GIF.
Oh, we were really hoping that you would be the person to clarify that.
It's actually like officially it's GIF, but the Giphy team calls it a GIF because it's called Giphy.
Okay.
But
it's a GIF.
It's a GIF. So I created
a
whole
bunch.
So thank
you for embarrassing yourself,
Kemi. No. This is a safe space.
My brother works in San Francisco in tech. He's going to not be impressed when I'm
But people call it everything. People call it
I don't know. I Sometimes I get confused between French and English words anyway, so.
That is so chic. That's a very chic
The thing
chic
is I sound English, so it's a problem because I don't actually have a French accent, but I just say things wrong sometimes.
It's super chic. You get away with it. Yeah.
But so aside from GIFs, from GIFs.
GIFs?
Aside from the GIFs.
Yeah. Oui.
In what other ways has Instagram most drastically changed the way that our industry communicates?
I mean, I think that when you think about fashion, 10 years ago, back in the day when you were a lawyer, for instance, you know, like fashion seemed like this very like far away, remote, kind of like impenetrable space, right? Like if you weren't part of this community of buyers, editors, models, or stylists, you weren't invited.
Right.
And I think now when you think about fashion, especially through Instagram, it's really kind of like democratized fashion. And it means that anyone who, like, whether you live in Tokyo, Tulsa, or like, you know, Didsbury, that's a place in England, you know, it is.
Shout out to Didsbury.
Shout out to all the people from Didsbury, like, listening. But, like, wherever you live, you can participate in fashion and feel like you're kind of following along. And you can kind of, it's like a choose your own adventure of fashion. You can curate people, whether it's models, designers, and stylists, or independent designers to follow and feel like you're a part of their lives. I've discovered so many brands. I'm sure it's the same for you guys. I discovered so many brands through Instagram. Like just following you, for instance, it's like learning about like Sophie Bilbray, who is like dream jewelry designer. Those earrings are the best. I saw her work on you and Emily Weiss.
Yeah,
and I literally was like, oh my God, I need these earrings.
The Danes are very good. It's like, but see, exactly. You know, like countries that you would not necessarily have like explored the fashion.
Copenhagen Fashion Week.
Copenhagen fashion is a whole.
Absolutely.
All I want to
do
now.
We will go and explore Copenhagen fashion properly in one of our episodes because
it's
there's something
brilliant
about the Danes and Scandinavia.
They've
just got their own little hub going on.
I literally want to who'd have thought? I'm literally like, I aspire to Copenhagen cool now. So, but I learned about so many of these brands like Sophie, like Ghani, through Instagram and by following influencers and following like magazines and really just kind of like following along. So I think also it's like, and you have this experience because you were a lawyer, but for me, I came to fashion late in my life. And I do think like if you were 17 years old now and you were thinking about going to law school, but you had this like deep love of fashion, if you kind of followed along, whether it's an editor or a stylist or a set designer, you can get a sense of what they do, and you probably would have realized your love of fashion even earlier.
That's 100% true. I think we understand much more about the industry nowadays because there's a lot of behind the scenes and a lot of I mean, videos obviously tell a proper story.
Yeah.
I think that's really helped as well, mm-hmm, like since mm-hmm. we've got Instagram stories. I mean, it's so totally. Fun.
And Instagram stories, it's like the content's meant to be kind of disposable and not super serious. So it's like people can take risks with it. So like, for instance, just this morning, Sam McKnight did an Instagram live of his garden.
The makeup artist.
The hairstylist. So he's like this legendary hairstylist who does like all the Chanel shows and Fendi shows and is like Karl Lagerfeld's like right hand hair person for like ever. And it's like Sam McKnight is live, and I was like, oh, like what crazy backstage thing is he showing? And it literally was the opposite. It was like him walking through his country garden in the morning, and I was how amazing is that you get a sense of these like industry legends and icons, but you get to see their real personality. It's the same for like Pier Paolo from Valentino, who's like my favorite designer to follow right now. He just joined Instagram like 3 months ago, but it's like when he's backstage or behind the scenes of a photo shoot, it's like he's posting the models, he's like showing the soundtrack he's doing, and it feels very intimate. And it makes you appreciate like when you do see that campaign image in like a Vogue or Harper's Bazaar, it's like I know the soundtrack that they used. It makes the image come alive even more.
Okay, I'm going to go really, like, BBC on you.
Oh, my God, I'm scared.
This is my one, like, women's hour.
Eva,
you have come from print media. Are you now part of its eventual demise?
That is, like, such a serious question.
I know, but I have to ask.
I was going to let her ask that.
It's just, like, I wonder how you feel about print media.
I like that your voice also went like 4 octaves lower.
I was imitating. I was genuinely imitating a woman who interviewed us on Women's Hour.
That's so funny. No, because I feel like I will always love print. Like I have a print magazine on my bedstand right now. And I love feeling paper. Like I have a print book over there and a print magazine on my bed. I mean, I think as a medium, Instagram can enhance print, 100%. If anything, because if you think about a magazine like British Vogue or American Vogue or like Numero or any of the amazing niche Japanese publications based out of Tokyo that like I am not always able to buy because it's $50.
Yeah.
It's like it's kind of like a companion. So it helps you increase your reach because what the magazine might have a print run of 50,000 in Japan, but through Instagram, you can feel like closer to that brand and closer to them as a publication. So I think the best magazines and the smartest magazines are the ones that, use Instagram and use influencers to their advantage. And like, I mean, RIP Lucky back when I was there, but like when I was at Lucky, it was like the first thing I did was start like integrating like Instagrammers and influencers and trying to like feature them frequently, because I do think it's a symbiotic relationship and there is and should be room to kind of for everyone at the table. And I think that magazines need to continue to exist.
Mm-hmm. What do you say to people who worry about there being no separation between private life and public life anymore?
I like that your voice went lower an octave.
I actually can't help it. I do it. It's when I'm thinking and talking at the same time.
I'm into it. It's very like...
It's already pretty deep, so I should probably try and keep it a little bit more perky.
I think to answer that question, I think everyone has to set their own guidelines and boundaries. Yeah. It's like it's a very personal decision what you choose to post on Instagram. I know some designers who only post work. I know other designers like Victoria Beckham this morning, you know, like she will post like the family, she'll post what wine she's drinking, she'll post her makeup routine. Like
thank God she posts the family, such a beautiful family.
I know.
Hello, David.
That makes me want
we love you.
She makes me want to have like 4 children. I think I said that to her once and it was like slightly creepy. I was like, you make me want 4 kids, and she was like, ugh. No, she wasn't. She like laughed, but like
she's so smart.
She's so smart and cool, and like
the show was insane this morning. I loved it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I always.
I'm so glad she's come back to London. It feels great to have her back.
Is it just for this one time?
I don't know. I hope not. I think probably it's.
I selfishly. I think
it's just for the. It's her 10th anniversary. I think.
Yeah, it is her 10th.
But I think it's sad. We need her here.
London has great energy, though. I love London fashion.
It's been a really good week. It's been a really good week for fashion in London.
I just feel like London energy is a little bit more experimental. It's a little cheeky. It doesn't feel like it has to be like fashion, you know? It's like...
Absolutely. I always feel that as soon as I get off the train from Paris.
And like, I love that Del Pozo showed in
London. JW Anderson yesterday was...
JW.
The milkmaid hat was crazy good. Phenomenal.
Mary Catranzu, and it's like that new crop of designers, like Mary, or they're not new, but like they're all celebrating their 10-year anniversary, like Mary, Peter Pilotto, Christopher Kane, and Erdem, you know, like yeah. I love that kind of that yeah. foursome, like I yeah. love all their clothes, and I just feel like the energy that they have. But but to go back to your question, which
I'm it's about private lives.
Private lives, because I'm trying to remember. All I remember is like how your voice dropped.
Yes. Very serious. No, but people speak to me about this all the time.
Yeah, I definitely think, you know, I think that people have to set up their own boundaries, their own kind of rules. And like for me, for instance, like I read a physical good old fashioned print book like next to my bed, like every night before I go to sleep. Too. Like that is my like yeah. mental rule, because it helps me kind of like relax, and like even if I only get through 3 or 4 pages, like it just, it's my own rule. I myself don't have like a crazy filter on Instagram, just because I feel like, especially when it came to motherhood and having kids, like Instagram has been such a great source of support. And like when, for instance, my son had colic when he was very, very young, and he was not sleeping, and it's like amount of support where followers like DM'd me and said, this worked for me, try this medication, try that. And like that really helped me. And I know some people who don't show their kids or don't want to talk about parenting on Instagram, and it's like I completely
each to their own.
Yeah, to each their own, and I completely respect that decision. But for me personally, like one of my followers recommended this like tummy warming thing for my son, and that literally was a thing that
worked.
That worked. Right. So it really depends. And we have tools. It's something that's on the top of. We have like an Instagram like wellness team, and their job is to keep Instagram like a safe place. And one of the tools they launched is like the time that now on Instagram you can see how much time you spent on Instagram. Do you guys know about that?
Oh my god, no. I don't know if that's going
to
make me
brave. I want to know.
Okay, so it's here in features.
Okay, wait.
And there's
so features. Let's features. Do it live. Oh no, I really don't want to look at this. Okay,
I don't know if you have it. So go into your settings.
Oh, wait, I'm on.
No, that's in your DM. Go into your profile page.
It's not going to work because I'm on.
Oh. Your daily average is.
So my daily average is 2.5.
Only two hours and 50 minutes.
Only? That's. And then you could like even set reminders for like after you've been on it for like a certain amount of time, or.
So that it tells you.
So that.
That's quite good. Yeah,
that's very clever.
Trying to help people.
Yeah, you could kind
wean of themselves off it.
Yeah.
If you want to wean yeah. yourself off.
No, I think like with average. Everything, it's wow. sort of. With moderation. I think Instagram is fantastic. Mm. As we said, it's a communication yeah. tool. It's a storytelling tool.
It's a business building
tool. It's a business building yeah. tool. But it's true that if you end up pouring too much of your life and soul on something which is basically not reality, you will find yourself removed from reality.
Yeah, I think that's also why it's so important to like live your reality on Instagram yeah. and off Instagram. Mm. I mean, there are people who live one life on Instagram, but then it's not like they're fronting, you know, they're pretending to have a certain lifestyle or pretending to be someone they're not. And on or off Instagram, it's really important just to be yourself. So for me, it's like I show a lot of aspects of my life, from like a flight delay to you know, something as unglamorous as like a flight delay or something like disastrous happening to like, you know, being in this beautiful room at the Ned with like a crooked lampshade and like delicious yeah. room service. Like I'll yeah. show different aspects. And I think that kind of sense of authenticity is really important, because you just have to remember to be yourself, which sounds weird to have to like say, but we all know people who it's like,
no, of course. Totally. I think it's important to repeat it. I think,
yeah.
You must always remember, you know, like that behind a picture, behind even a video,
yeah,
sometimes there's a very different story to what you're actually being shown. And I think people need to be mindful of that.
Yeah. And like just being yourself, and like don't take it too seriously. I mean, and just kind of have fun with it. I think that's the most important thing. Like,
that's the key. Confession time. How many times have you scrolled through your feed since this episode began?
Hey, I don't have to answer that, do I?
Mm-hmm. So Instagram has obviously changed the way that people shop.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to be announcing proof of this tomorrow. Yes. In that 90 million accounts now tap to reveal tags in shopping. Yeah. And you're also launching shopping in Stories and Explore. Mm-hmm. So what does this like concretely mean for retailers and designers?
Well, I think it's and shoppers. Great. I mean, I think it's good for like everyone all around, because again, like we all know that people are getting inspired on Instagram to shop. Like from all the influencers I follow, from all the retailers I follow, from Net-a-Porter that I follow, from like designers that I follow, like Ghani and the bazillion other designers I follow. And what this means is that it just makes it easier for people to like shop. It's something where we've been listening to feedback, and we've been listening to like what consumers and followers and brands are asking for. And not a day goes by when a designer says like, I know people are shopping from my Instagram, because if I post something on my Instagram, I see a direct correlation to like that item in the store being sold out. I wish it were easier. And it's like, this is our way of helping people make it easier. Yeah. So I think it's a good thing. And people should take advantage of those tools. If I were a young designer, like if I were a designer, which I am definitely not, but like, if I were to design like a clothing line, which again, I am definitely not, what I would do is I would launch it on Instagram.
Yeah,
I would use hashtags. I would ask friends like you guys.
Do you think hashtags are still a thing?
Yeah, yeah. Hashtags are a huge thing. And it's funny because I think a lot of fashion people are like, ugh, hashtags.
Yeah, because it's not chic.
It's not chic,
but it's useful.
But it's useful. And like, this is not a fashion example, but it's a book example. Like, the hashtag Bookstagram has been used 21 million times.
Wow.
So if you follow the hashtag Bookstagram, like you start getting posts in your feed and on stories.
Because you can follow hashtags now, yes.
You can follow hashtags. Okay, so it's like I've seen so many books that really I've like,
interesting.
I've seen books that I want to like read that I've like ended up buying. I also have seen like really like delicious library pictures that people post, like really gorgeous libraries with the hashtag Bookstagram.
Bookshelf porn is also
bookshelf,
like great.
Oh my god, like when you see bookshelf porn, really
it's
beautiful.
Like these people that are obsessed with bookshelves and like post all of these photos.
I am obsessed with bookshelves. It's like very, very like dreamy.
But Instagram for travel, I think, as it's travel and fashion for me are the two big things.
Yeah.
Because anywhere that you absolutely. Want to research, I go onto the geotag of the hotel, I look at what people
exactly.
are doing. I look at like the rooms, the food. It's great to sort of get inspired. You can like look around areas and see that's what people are doing around there. I mean, for me it's just been real.
Exactly how I use it too. And that's like I as I mentioned in the beginning of this like podcast, I said like I like hotels where it's like kind of old lady hotels, like a little bit like not like I like the calmer hotels. And so like I'm going to Brazil later this year, and I literally like looked at the hashtag for the hotel, and one of the hotels posted a picture where there was like a disco ball and like flashing lights, and they were like, every Thursday night is party night.
Like, no,
and I was like, not there.
Going.
Thank you, Instagram hashtag research, for helping me figure out what hotel to stay in. So I think it's like
I read that the most way millennials book hotels is how Instagrammable a place or a hotel is.
Yeah.
So they will. It won't be like, oh, it's cheap or it looks cool or it's how Instagrammable is my hotel.
I don't not believe that.
No, I believe
like,
it's true.
This, like this room is made for Instagram. Like, you know, it's like with this antique bed and well, the bathtub.
Look at Les Roches Rouges.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't get a room in there anymore.
Yeah. Really?
Have you been?
Uh-uh.
It's this hotel in the south of France.
They invited a bunch of us last summer, and like they really got it on Instagram.
Okay.
And it's got the biggest saltwater pool of the whole of Europe, and it looks like a Slim Aaron's photograph.
Wow.
It's so beautiful.
Literally looks like a Slim Aaron's photo. Yeah. I mean, the pool is dug into a big rock on the sea.
Wow.
And then across from it, you have this island with an old ruined castle that it looks like it's from Tintin.
It is from Tintin. Yeah.
L'Île d'Or. Oh. It's amazing. Anyway.
But that's like when I went to Australia, not the first place, but I was like, I cannot leave Australia without going to Bondi Beach.
Yeah,
you know, right. Exactly.
Like
the pool.
Yeah, that pool. And I was like, and literally when I saw it in real life, I was like, whoa. It's like my brain. It's like, this is an Instagram photo come to life. Wait, it is real life. And it was just like seeing something in real life was crazy.
Do you think that people who follow you guys on Instagram might have that when they see you in real life?
No.
Maybe they do.
I guess I feel like for me, I'm usually like pushing like a child in a stroller with like a slightly sweaty upper lip and then like with like toilet paper stuck on my foot and like running around.
Since I had my crutches, I think because maybe I was even more recognizable. A lot of people have been coming up to me and being very sweet, saying like, oh, thank you for being sort of continuing to sort of power through and providing inspiration. Because I think like for a while, I didn't really know what to do with myself and social media and the foot, because it really sort of wasn't part of my brand to sort of, you know, be injured and
legs
sitting
are
on
an important feature.
Being able to wear shoes and running around and doing things is what I normally do. Yeah. And I was sort of sat on a chair all summer and I couldn't figure out whether I wanted to just be really, you know, withdraw myself and just look after myself or kind of share. And after a while, I thought, you know what? Like a lot of people go through this.
Yeah.
And I would rather show people that I'm making the best of a bad situation. Yes. So I got pink crutches that were like cancer research crutches and sort of was styling out my outfits, like trying to make my my bandage go with my foot. Like it was with my shoes. And it turned out that it was a really sort of character building moment. Definitely. Because I realized that, you know, real life isn't always pretty. Yeah. Right. But if you make the best of something, you will actually continue to sort of have a good time and make it look good on social media.
And your followers, I'm sure, appreciated that you were being like honest and kind of showing the real life. Yeah. And it's like, again, like as a mom, like it being a mom is really tiring. Yeah. There's a lot of hard stuff. And so even if my daughter, for instance, it's like, I'm like, it's 9:30. Why is she not asleep yet? And then if I post that on Instagram, I get so many comments, messages, but it's literally like, I'm going through that too. My daughter keeps like, and it's like, stick with it, mom. And it's like, from both sides, it's like, I appreciate the encouragement. It like literally, like I remember when I was particularly tired, it like made me start crying. Like,
same. Like, I had so many wonderful messages from people this summer, sending me pictures of them in their crutches or them in hospital or seeing some, I don't know, like for me, it was really heartwarming to see like that other people were going through the same thing. It actually does help. That you're not alone.
And then people also said like, it's like, we really appreciate, because it's like, we appreciate that you're not just showing like your daughter perfect, like with perfect pigtails and like wearing this and wearing like French designer clothes. You show like the 360 of being a mom. And that's what really like being a mom is like. It's like tiring and exhausting, but joyful.
Yeah.
So that, I think emotional honesty is like the most important thing.
Okay, this is actually, but people ask me about this all the time and I'm like, I don't know.
No, it's a good question. Monica wants to.
Okay, this is like serious investigation. Oh my God, I'm going to have to drop my voice.
Okay, drop your voice.
Okay. Eva, Eva, I feel like there's this like kind of world quest for knowledge of how you get a blue tick on Instagram.
Okay, so
Monica, by the way, doesn't have one.
Because this is like a podcast, you can't see that Monica literally moved the microphone like so that it's literally right under my nose.
Like, I wasn't trying to make you feel uncomfortable.
So verification is really funny because people take it super seriously.
Yes, they do.
I've never got so many messages of congratulations than when I got verified. Of my whole career, every single friend that I've known.
It's like you've won the Nobel Peace Prize. And
I don't even remember. So I got verified, I think, when I was working at Lucky. I don't even remember like how I got verified.
Oh, I remember when I got
verified. But it's because it's kind of Big Brother-ish in the best way possible. It's like they saw you.
Yeah.
They
Instagram
considered
knows
it.
Who you are.
Someone had a conversation about it at HQ.
So let me demystify a few things. Let's use these next few minutes as an opportunity to debunk some myths. Number one, like I don't have like a big blue tick button like that's like boom.
Oh my God, I would love that. Damn.
So we have a team based, it's a global team that basically reviews accounts for verification. We're actually testing public verification in through the app now. So that's something that some people will see where they can actually request to be verified through the app. It's based on a number of things.
That will blow up your people.
Yeah, thankfully.
I think everybody wants to be verified.
It does not go to my inbox, thankfully. Like, verification started because public figures, like actresses and singers, were getting impersonated. And people would, like, pretend to be, let's just say, Miley Cyrus, and then send a message to a young girl saying, like, hey, send me money for tickets or whatever.
Interesting.
I'm making that up, but it's, like, it was, like, that kind of thing. So they added verification as a safety measure to protect the community, but also to protect the public figure. Somehow along the way, it became this like badge of honor, like you were winning the Olympics. Like, you, like it's like bigger than an Olympic medal. I actually have had Olympic medalists say that like having the blue badge is more important to them than a gold medal.
I'm no,
like,
you're lying.
We need to reevaluate your priorities.
Let's talk
here.
About this.
But usually, it's a combination of things. It's like, how many impersonators do you have? tell me about the, like, share the press that that has been written about you. So like what we, like, I would nickname like notability, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it's a combination of factors that I am not even fully aware of what they are, but we can talk about that offline too. Okay. Other myths, for instance, are that like the algorithm, people love using the word algorithm.
Yes, the algorithm. I didn't want to use it because it's a bit of a dirty word.
Obsessed with the algorithm.
I have to say, the algorithm and I have a very difficult relationship.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I don't like the algorithm.
Okay, why?
Because I feel like the algorithm, I feel like what it does is that I feel like it favors content that you've already seen. I think I think like people tend to like what they know because that's how we are as humans.
Right.
And so the algorithm loves an avocado picture because like people just like, you know, they automatically will
It's based on your personal engagement. Yeah. So the algorithm basically, actually it's funny because
I feel like it's gone through a phase where it used to be that your content could have the same reaction no matter what. And now unless you're posting yourself, I have this thing that unless I post myself, my pictures don't get any engagement.
Same, but I don't care because I don't want it to just be myself. But I'm like,
but people probably it's
because they want to see you and what you're doing. Of course,
ultimately, people, and I always say this to people that I'm talking to, it's like a selfie always does well. People have very like mixed feelings about selfies, but it's like
no, of course,
people like selfies, for instance, because it feels the most real. It feels like people. Like
you're there.
You're there. Yeah. You're taking the picture.
Mm. And it's not like a photographer. Exactly. And you're really in the moment.
It's like the least distance between you and
Absolutely.
Your follower.
Absolutely. The more professional a photo is,
the less well it does.
And it can be like an amazing photo that was in Paris Vogue. People like literally don't
They would
like
rather
it.
Have a picture where you're taking a picture, a mirror selfie.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
your outfit.
Yeah. That is an absolute categorical rule.
I have a real question about the algorithm.
Yes.
Is it true that if you post pictures of yourself that get high engagement and then pictures that you just want to share, which you know will get lower engagement, that the algorithm won't pull your content to the top as frequently because
that's not true.
Okay, good.
So like,
so we can continue to post everything.
That was the second myth I was going to debunk, is that like Instagram does not hide posts. So a lot of people will say like, I feel like Instagram hid my post and then showed my followers a picture of Kim Kardashian instead. And I love Kim, like much respect to Kim, but it's like, we don't hide posts.
No, Kim is just famous.
Yeah, it's like, it's purely based on engagement. So for instance, one of my coworkers who has like less than, she doesn't have that many followers, but she always shows up the first in my Instagram stories tray.
Because
I like her posts and because I watch her
content. If you search someone, you're going to see them, right? If you search them, as in you're like, oh, I'll just check.
As in stalking, she means.
Okay.
I'll just check what so-and-so's been up to recently.
Let's not use any names.
Any names.
I don't actually know. I have to check to see if that's like a signal for like engagement.
I'm but like almost positive.
Yeah. Okay.
That if you search someone, again, let's not go into details.
Hypothetically speaking,
you're going to see what they, as soon as they post.
So. Which is, I like that. I like the fact that it remembers who I'm interested in and brings up content that even things that I haven't necessarily liked because I'm trying to play it cool.
But that's why shopping, which we're launching in Explore, like that's going to be, it's going to be amazing. Because like, for instance, if you like Sophie Bilbray, like the accounts that are similar to Sophie, you'd be more likely to see in your Explore. Cool. So I think it'll be really amazing for designers. Exciting. Like all those Copenhagen designers are going to like, it's going to be gangbusters for them.
Yes. Well, we're going to let you go.
We'll let you continue then. Are you off to India?
I'm not going to India.
I think you should have a bath.
I'm going to do a workout now with my team. Do you know this trainer named Russell?
Russell, Bates? Skinny Bitch Collective.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So I met him.
You are going to suffer.
I know.
It's hardcore.
So I met him through Instagram a year ago. It's my 1 year anniversary.
I met him through Instagram too. He DM'd me. See what Instagram? He was like, come and train. I was like, I'm allergic to exercising. I can't come and train with supermodels.
Yeah.
When I exercise, I go as red as a tomato. I don't want you to film me. And I went and I loved it.
He's
really
phenomenal.
It's called Skinny Bitch Collective.
Yes, SBC.
Russell SBC. And he's the hardest trainer I've ever worked with, but also the most fun.
He's fun. It's like he's really
you're
funny.
You're laughing so hard the whole time.
I'm not lying. He trains Victoria's Secret models. So you go and it's you and like...
Constance Jablonski, and you're a bit like, okay, cool.
And then she looks really good. And then
People,
he'll shout
these
at
models
me,
he's don't like, sweat. Like, I'm sorry, but when I exercise, I don't look like the same human. I'm like another color. Sam, it's not normal.
We've exercised together many times. It's also really hard to keep a straight face when we're exercising together.
No, I'm laughing like the whole time. And then, like, if you look at
it, laughing
Instagram,
is good for your abs. That's so yes. I think you could technically argue that.
Abs. I only have one. I only have one ab, but he's so great.
I only have one ab. There you go.
Yeah, I have one. That counts. That's. I have one ab, but he's phenomenal, and I'm really excited. So we're doing a team workout. You will not see it on his Instagram because we are off brand for him.
What?
No.
If you look at
supermodels,
but if you look at his Instagram feed, which is Russell SBC, it's literally like models.
No, I'm telling
you, doing like squats in unison, and then
I'm so excited to follow this man.
You need to see his Instagram. It's amazing. But he's amazing. He's like, and he's so nice and funny, and like, he'll slide into your DMs. Like, if I post a picture of like wine, he'll be like, absolutely not. Do not do that. So it's good to have that reminder.
Slide into your DMs is one of my favorite of all Instalingo history.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's very like expressive.
Yeah.
Before we go, I want to ask you, just to leave on a fun note, who's your favorite person to follow?
Besides you guys?
Yeah, obviously besides us.
I like, there are two like little Instagram fashionistas. I think they're both based out of Japan, of
Ooh,
course.
Amazing.
There's one named Coco Pink Princess.
Wow.
Have you guys heard of her?
Following her.
Coco Pink Princess.
Brace yourself.
No.
Brace yourself.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
How old is she?
She's like 7.
She's really cool.
Oh goodness, she's got more attitude than the three of us put together.
She is my style.
Wow.
Bucket hats. And
Coco Pink is Coco Pink Princess's mom behind this account, or is Coco Pink
boots?
Wow.
Yeah, her mom helps her with it, and then the other one is I'm inspired by children. Like literally, this one she's also Japanese. Zoe in the City. And she's like super cool as well. Like, look at this casual Brooklyn street style flared jean moment.
No, this is not fair.
Zoe in the City is way cooler than me.
Yeah, she's pretty disgustingly cool.
Wow.
And then, of course, when I try to dress up my child, my daughter's like, no.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's not. She. I have tried to get her to like embrace her street style, but she's not into
that
it.
That is so cute.
But she's pretty cute.
Zoe in the City.
Eva, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Thank you so much.
And I hope to run into you later at the Vogue party.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No, it's been great.
It's been great.
I feel like we've learned loads.
Yay.
Thank you so much to everybody for finding your way back to us today. Thank you, Eva, for taking the time in between all your fashion adventures to chat to us about all of this stuff.
Thanks also to our new producer, Joel, and the good people at Acast.
The good people. The good people. What are the good people?
Who wrote that?
Monica, please talk normally. We're not in the middle age. Thank you to the wonderful people at Acast for...
You shall sit with us at the round table, good
for
people.
For hosting our good podcast. Oh, good.
Very good. Please rate and review us. If you're that kind of person, we'll love you forever.
Actually, I think we should make this fun. Make this fun. Please rate and review us. And the funniest or punniest review shall get a proper shout out.
We're going to read it out, and you will officially be promoted to the status of No Filter Friend.
Absolutely. Get reviewing.
If that's not incentive enough, I don't know what is. See you next time for another take on the social media phenomenon from No Filter Friend, Catherine Omrod, the author and journalist who we love. Okay, bye.
Good people of the internet.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.